Myself, I'm Owen Fitzpatrick. First, I want to thank God and our Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege it is to be here to share God's word with you. And I want to thank Ron Neve because he asked me. What I'm going to share on, and Ron, you're going to love this title. 1 John 4, 1 to 13, etc. And you'll understand the etc. after I'm done with the teaching. So I'm going to read to y'all out of the Working Translation. If you got one at home, pull it out. This is a awesome section of God's Word. And without the understanding of what I'm going to share, you won't understand this. So in 1 John 4, we're just going to read through the whole thing. Not the whole book, chapter, but verses 1 to 13. So in Working Translation, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove whether or not the spirits are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit from God. And any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And any spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the movement of the Antichrist. As you have heard, it is to come and is now already in the world. Ye are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us." It's pretty simple, isn't it? "From this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of delusion, that which misleads. Beloved, let us love one another, because the love is from God, and anyone who loves in this manner is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's pretty neat, isn't it? Part of a definition of God right there is he's love. You don't have to guess. The Word of God tells you. "By this, the love of God was manifested in us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. By this is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins." Praise God for that. "Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time." That kind of eliminates Jesus Christ being God, because you could see him. There's other things in this record you're going to see that eliminates that stupidity too. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, not only does God abide in us, but his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we are abiding in him as well as he in us. He has given us from his Spirit." Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove whether or not the spirits are from God." Now, if you read that, you'll hear Christians say this, "Prove the Spirit, brother, prove the Spirit." Well, the only way you could do that is by discerning the spirits. God would have to tell you what kind of spirit it is. But there's a deeper meaning here. As you read the verse, it says, "Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This word spirit and the other word spirits, it's a figure of speech, metonymy. And it represents the prophecy these prophets speak. And good Lord, had who had they not seen this in the Word, I would have never came up with that. I'm not that smart. But isn't that neat? Believe not every it's talking about prophecies of the prophets. Either the true God has prophets or the false God has prophets. There are two kingdoms. You have to remember that as a believer. If you forget that, then you're going to get tricked. But this is talking about the prophecies of the prophets. So we'll keep reading. In verse 2, it says, by this you know the Spirit from God, and any spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That means anyone who says he's a man, not he's a God or a God-man or whatever they want to call him. He's a man. That's how he came in the flesh. It says in Hebrews that he took on himself the nature of Abraham. Abraham's a man, or was a man. He's waiting the resurrection. That's so cool. Uh-oh, somebody left. And any spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, and this is the movement of the Antichrist. As you've heard it, it is to come and now is already in the world. So those who promote Jesus Christ as God are speaking for the Antichrist. That's what this is telling you. Ha! I don't even get in an argument with people about Jesus Christ being God or not being God. I had a guy at one of my jobs the other day was telling me how he was a private school teacher, Catholic Christian, quick Christian, end of quote. And he said, everything he sees in threes, and that proves the Trinity. And I said, no, you're not getting me into that fight. I'm not even going there. But there it was. Those words are a lie. And you've got to be able to discern them, and you don't want to fight with people. You want to love people. And this guy's a really older guy. And I think he was looking to fight with me, but I don't fight with people no more. It's just not, the word tells you not to, anyway, in Timothy. But anyway, this is really neat here. Walter has a footnote in here. I'm going to read it to you. If you have the working translation, it's at 1 John 5, 6. 5, I got to find it. That's too far. All right, here it is. So, 1 John 5, 6, this is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. The Spirit also is bearing witness because the Spirit is truth. To come by water and blood means you were a flesh and blood person that was born. And that's what this is talking about. Now let's look at this footnote. A phrase used, and this will show you where the stupidity of the part of where the stupidity of the Trinity comes from. A phrase used to refer to the physical life of human beings, similar to the phrase flesh and blood. And then he gives you a bunch of places to look. Evidently, some of the Gnostic arguments of the second century were already surfacing in the first century, saying that Jesus had a body and that was born of water but not blood, or even denying that Jesus had come in the flesh. According to the Gnostic beliefs of the second century and following, Jesus was a god. Now listen, this is really stupid. This is you can't even make sense of this from logic. Jesus was a god who did not have a human body. What? He was seen by thousands of people. But he came in the flesh. Huh.
Huh?
Yeah, Ron, you're right. It's laughable that people would be that stupid to believe that. Okay, let's see. I lost my place. Denying Jesus come in the flesh. But he temporarily, this is really interesting, occupied a human being or appeared as a phantasm.
Phantom.
Huh?
Phantom.
No, it's got an S in it. That's why I said it that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Phantasm. They further said that his sufferings and death were mere appearances. Boy, I like you to see you tell him that. Well, then that didn't really happen. How stupid. And he was seen as a man in appearance only. The roots of these beliefs were evidently already present. This is sad to think about this. In the first century, when God had John write this epistle. So they were already having problems in the first century with Jesus Christ being God. Unbelievable. And then I wanted to read you here in 1 John 4, 1, the footnote Walter has on Pneuma. So it says spirits, because in the first verse it has the word spirit and then the plural word spirits. The word spirit occurs in this passage in 1 John 3:24, 4:1, 4:2, 4:3, 4:6, 4:13 by metonymy to refer to that which spirit produces. The prophecy, either of a false prophet or a true prophet, because there are both sides. You do have true prophets, and they do speak prophecy. And he says, for further explanation of these occurrences, see intermediate class of Walking in God's Power, Word Promotions. We have to remember that Jesus Christ was a man. He's still a man. He isn't this God-man that ascended into heaven. God gave him a new body, which is what we're getting. Isn't that great? We're going to get the same body he had. Nobody knows what. The only guys that know what it looked like were the people in the first century, and they certainly didn't take it in a laboratory and figure it out. And sometimes I think it's kind of cool that God doesn't tell us certain things. It's something to look forward to. He has a supernatural body, is what he has. And we got to remember that. But he's still a man, you know. Now look at my notes. Okay, so in 1 John 4:4, as you read the context of this, you see that this isn't only talking about prophecy of prophets, it's also talking about the spirit and spirits, and when I say spirit, I mean the devil, and the spirits, his minions, behind these prophecies. Ye are from God, little children, and you have overcome them. The them are the devil, the spirits, and the prophets, the false prophets. That's who you've overcome. So it's so big, you haven't just overcome the prophecies, and you haven't just overcome the prophets, you've overcome the devil and his minions. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because Jesus Christ took care of it all. And all you got to do is look in the appendix in intermediate class, and this is where I got all this information. I'm not making it up. And I know for some of you people, it might be new information. Maybe you haven't had the new intermediate class, which I exhort you to take if you haven't. But anyway, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. Well, isn't that great to know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is greater than anything in this world, including the devil himself. That's true. That's a great reality. Look at this. They are from the world. Therefore speak they from the world, and the world listens to them. Who are they and who are them? The false prophets, the devil spirit realm, the devil himself. That's who this is talking about. And so why are you shocked when someone says something stupid to you? Because they're from the world. That's all they know. They don't know the true God. They don't, and that's where we come in. We get to speak the word to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Stop and look at that. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Quit beating dead horses who don't really want to know God. If they want to know God, the Word of God says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And that means to the capacity of their hunger. And those that are arguing with you and fighting with you, walk away. Don't try with your logic to reach them. You can't. They're from the world. They're of the world. They don't care. Sometimes that's hard because we love people. We want people we know to believe the word, but you can't make them. Sometimes I wish I could, but I can't. And isn't it great that God gives them free will? Our God is so good, you guys. He has given us free will to choose to believe or not believe his word. You don't have to believe God's word. Did you know that? No, you don't have to. You do not have to if you don't want to. But thanks, Earl. Earl's in the back room, but you should. That's right. You should. The only logical thing for a person once they've heard God's word is to believe it. That's the only logical thing to do if you want the benefits. All right, where were we? We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Whoever's not from God does not listen to us. That's pretty simple. Look, God's telling you right here. If they don't listen to you, don't worry about it. That's their opportunity. From this, what? From what? What? If they listen or don't listen. From this, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of delusion, that which misleads. That's an evil thing, man, to mislead people away from the true God and his word. They need God's word. Beloved, let us love one another because the love is from God, and anyone who loves in this manner is born of God and knows God. He who does not love doesn't know God, because God's love. It's pretty simple. If you just read what's written, by this, the love of God was manifested in us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Hallelujah. And if people don't want to receive it, okay, it's their choice. You do not have to believe God's word if you don't want to. Even the people in the world, they have a choice. God doesn't say, you better believe or you're... He doesn't treat people like that. He presents the word and he gives them an option. You choose. He never oversteps the free will of mankind. Isn't that awesome? It is so awesome. The other God does. He loves to do that, especially if he can get a Christian. If he can overstep the free will of a Christian, oh my God, he'll have a party, which is not where we want to be. By this is the love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. It wasn't our great love for God. It was his love for us. Man. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. That's pretty simple. And sometimes, honestly, that's the hardest thing in the world. whether it's your spouse or a friend, and somebody continues to do the same stupid stuff they know they shouldn't be doing to you. And yet God says, love. He doesn't say, well, you know, get your pound of flesh. Beat them up with your evil words. He says, love. And there's the challenge. No one has seen God at any time. That ends the argument. Right there. Jesus Christ was a human. He was seen. He was seen by at least above 500 men we know in the resurrected body, if not more. So that eliminates it. That not only does God abide in us, but his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we are abiding in him as we, well as he in us, he has given us from his Spirit. So turn to Ephesians 1. I wanted to show you two places in the Word where it shows us, not just because 1 John says, but 1 John does say we overcome them. But I wanted you to see your position in Christ, where you sit, what God sees when God... We were talking about this Friday night. Jeanette brought it up. And we were talking about how sometimes people do dumb things, and you, this great believer told Jeanette, well, you just need to see that person as God sees them. Not as you see them. Not as what you think about them. But see them as God says in his word. And I thought, what great wisdom that was. Because that's the truth of it. So in Ephesians 1, this is such a great section of the word. It says verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge, acknowledgement of him. That word acknowledgement's huge. It's not just a knowledge of God. It's a knowledge where that knowledge affects your life and you act on that knowledge, where you carry it out. It's huge. And just look at what God says. Give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, in the acknowledgement of him. In other words, that the eyes of your heart. Notice he says heart. He doesn't say anything other than heart, because heart is where you believe. He wants your believing. He wants your believing to line up with this and 1 John and the rest of the word. But look at this. The first thing he wants us to know is the hope of his calling. If the hope is not burning in your heart and life, you're going to burn out. It's a guarantee. You need to have that hope burning in your heart. Like, get up every morning. He could come back right now. Right now, he could come back while I'm teaching. We don't know. Nobody knows. He don't even know. That's something God didn't even tell his son. He'd think he would have told him, but he didn't. So even Jesus Christ, there's some things he doesn't know. That's kind of cool. That eliminates him from being God too. The hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the holy sanctified ones? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? That power is according to the working of the strength of his ability, not yours, not mine, his ability, which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and caused him to sit at his right side in the heavenly realm. Far above, look at this. Think you've overcome them? Look at this. Far above, doesn't say above. It says far above every ruler and authority and power and lordship, every, even every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. Now, here's where it gets cool, even more cool. He put all things in subjection under his feet, and he made him head over all things in the church, which is his body. Look, you could be the little toe on the body of Christ and be the skin at the bottom of his toe, and you're still far above all principality, power, might, and all that stuff. That's where we sit, guys. That's what we have. It's ours. It's not something, well, I got to believe for it. No, it's yours. It's stated. That's what it is. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things in all people. And then turn to Colossians, if you would. And then I'm done. Colossians 1, we just got to remember our God and his word in our Lord Jesus Christ and Christ in you are all greater than the enemy or anything he can do. It doesn't matter. Even if you fall asleep, if you, let's say you drive down a road, you get killed in a car wreck, God forbid. But if you did, you still got the victory because he's going to raise you from the dead and give you a new body. And you've got eternity. Ain't you glad God figured this out? You didn't have to. All right, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father. Oh, yeah, I guess we should, shouldn't we? Who made us competent for a... I was never competent in anything in my life. I was stupid. I didn't know. I wasn't ever educated. But look at this. God made us competent. Man, that's a breath of fresh air to a guy like me. I'm a very simple person. Competent for a part in the share of the holy sanctified ones in the light. He, not you, not your renewing of the mind believing, not if you make all these verses yours and you're just going to lock your mind down and you're going to, that's not what this says. It says he delivered us from the authority of darkness, so you're delivered. So you got to believe it. You live it. You live it. And the way you live it in light of 1 John 4 is you quit listening to the stupidity of the world. The world's always going to be wrong. It's always going to be against God because the true God, because the devil is the God of this world. And I don't care if you listen to Fox News. The media is still a mouthpiece for the devil. I hate to tell you. I don't know if you know that or not, but they are. That's the world. This is the media we should be listening to. God's word. He delivered us from the authority of darkness and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. You're in the kingdom. You're in it. It ain't somewhere you got to go. You're in it. Now there's a day coming where we're going to have new bodies and it'll be a different situation. But that's what it says. You're translated into his kingdom. Of course, there's a big note on here, but I'm not going to read that if you want to read it. And then I want to read verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You're forgiven. So forgive yourself for whatever. Doesn't matter. Did something stupid, okay. Probably won't be the last time. You know, the funny thing is, God's word doesn't say, once you get born again, you got to walk perfect. It says faithful. There's a difference. Faithful men and women fall on their butts, and then they get up, and they say, God, I am so sorry that I did that stupid thing. Can you please help me not do that again? And even if you do it again, you go back to him. Because Jesus Christ paid the price. You were forgiven. You are forgiven. So you got to forgive yourself. So that's what I had. Father, thanks for the day. Thanks that we are forgiven. And thank you for having made us super conquerors according to your word. And for the greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that just settles it. It's just an awesome privilege to have Christ within. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.